Talkback with Gary Null, Sundays at 8 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, starting a little late today because the internet went down that we use as a carrier for Progressive Radio Network. But for those of you who are still hanging on, we welcome you. And this hour, we'll be dealing with questions and issues that are important to you. Now, tomorrow, I have a very important guest. I have an original commentary on social issues. And then in the evening at 7 o'clock, I have the new Progressive Commentary Hour, which, by the way, we believe is the most downloaded radio program in America from any, not Rush Limbaugh, no one. We had over 140,000 people, different people, download last Monday night's show. So needless to say, I look at all the different things that we're not hearing in mainstream media or alternative media, but are important to our well-being, and that's what I focus on. This is the one program, well, also my Wednesday morning six-hour program, but this is the one evening where you have a chance to call in and ask your questions. Our number to call in is 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888, and I'll take your calls. Let's go to the latest on health and healing. The World Health Organization has found that an antimicrobial copper kills 97% of deadly bacteria and reduces infection rate by 40%. Now, many people listening surely have in your medicine cabinet colloidal silver. Some will have colloidal gold. Others will have wild oregano oil in its full potency and olive leaf extract. All of those are terrific for you. So now add the antimicrobial copper spray. At the International Conference on Prevention and Infectious Control in Geneva, they revealed that the use of an antimicrobial copper surfaces in hospitals helped reduce the rate of hospital-acquired infections by 40%. The metal also effectively kills 97% of bacteria, as well as many other viral and fungal pathogens. So, that's good. Next up, Food Force Designing Solutions from Ancient Traditions. And the human practice of growing food from amongst the trees goes back for millennia. And there are examples of food forest or food gardens in Vietnam and Morocco stretching back hundreds, even thousands of years, respectively. And much of the east coast of North America was managed this way by the native people before the arrival of Columbus. Forest gardening is the most sustainable ecological way of producing food known ever. It dwarfs Rudolf Steiner's, it dwarfs anything that we've ever done. And yet we're not doing it, at least up to this point. And we could. Forest gardening is not about just taking your annual vegetable garden and putting it in the forest. It's about designing a system based upon productive trees as the primary source of food. These include fruit and nut trees and the trees that nurture and support them. And a forest garden can contain berry bushes and other shrubs, and the understory contains plants and such as herbs, mushrooms, and vegetables that are shade or partially shade tolerant. These plants form guilds, meaning mutually beneficial groups of plants, with the trees and the shrubs to create connections that strengthen the overall resilience of the system and lessen or eliminate the need for outside inputs. So I'll be doing more on this topic. In fact, I'll actually be doing a model of it. I'm going to take an area, a small area, of heavily treed area and show in just 1 year what is possible using this concept of growing multiple things, probably 200 or 300 different types of herbs and mushrooms and seeds, all growing in an area and easy to do. For those of you who have asked, well, should you have those French fries, maybe the bun has some trans fatty acids in it, the potato chip? Here's the latest research from the American Journal of Epidemiology. Trans fatty acids boost your risk of colon cancer by 86%. That's an enormous amount of risk. So a higher consumption of trans fatty acids increases your risk of precancerous colorectal tumors by 86%. Quote, this is from the article, these results suggest that consumption of high amounts of trans fatty acids may increase risk of colorectal neoplasia, which is abnormal cell growth, and they provide additional support to recommendations to limit trans fatty acid consumption. You bet. This was at the University of North Carolina. So think of all the people you know who have abnormal colons. They have polyps. They have little growths. Or they have cancer. That's one thing that's causing them. Trans fats. Something that can help your skin. Papaya. That's right. It's the skin care of nature, and it can help reduce wrinkles. I read an interesting article by Melanie Grimes, Natural News, and I was flying. I've been flying almost every day and filming, and I have a lot of time sometimes, depending upon the weather, of getting from one point to another, or even flying across the country. It's 6 hours. So I read. This is all about the pulp of the papaya fruit. It can help reduce wrinkles. Now, why? It's simple. There's an enzyme called papain, P-A-P-A-I-N, and it's known to help people who have digestive problems. And, in fact, the people who I counsel who have indigestion or have acid reflux, I frequently recommend chewing 6 or 7 papain tablets with a meal. But this can help repair wrinkles. Now, why? Your skin is made of tissues that stretch with age. Elastin and collagen are two fibers in the skin that contribute to skin firmness and help to restore skin elasticity. Now, papayas help rebuild the elastin, thereby rebuilding the healthy skin and preventing wrinkling. But this has been going on for a long time. In fact, Christopher Columbus called papayas the fruit of the angels. Now, remember that it's not really your skin that's wrinkling per se. It's the underlying connective tissue. So when that is you're replaced with new and stronger, more resilient tissue, then you won't see those wrinkles. And there are three types of connective tissue in the skin. There's the structural proteins, there's specialized proteins, and there is proteoglycans. The structural proteins are the ones responsible for elasticity, collagen, and elastin. Well, papaya and the papain in the papaya helps all that. It helps digest food proteins. And the enzyme, papain, is found in all papayas, but especially when they're not yet ripe. In fact, there was some research in Japan that demonstrated that a papaya preparation had antioxidant activity and healed mucous membranes. And the research indicated that the papaya improves wound healing and is therefore beneficial to the skin. Now, papayas also contain vitamin C, which we also know helps restore skin elasticity. So vitamin C helps the manufacture of collagen, But I don't believe we could possibly get enough out of papaya. Therefore, I believe that we should be consuming about 10,000 milligrams, or up to bowel tolerance, of vitamin C per day, 2 to 4,000 milligrams of quercetin, which helps enhance the bioavailability of vitamin C, plus is also antiviral and antibacterial, and great to help prevent bruising of the skin or reversing bruising of the skin by itself. So to make a papaya facial mask, select a green papaya, one that is not yet fully ripe. Mash one half of the papaya and combine it with a teaspoon of, I would select Tupelo honey. Then cleanse your face with warm water and apply the papaya mask and leave it on for about a half hour and then rinse it off. You could do that about twice a week. That helps rebuild skin and prevents wrinkles. Also, on another level, we should be concerned about radiation in our environment. But every time we have anyone in the scientific community tell us that there's a problem, up comes the FDA to always defend the industry and say, no, that's not really a problem, like with radiation. So the one type of radiation I suggest you not be exposed to is CT or CAT scans. And a lot of people are getting it now to screen them for colon cancer and everything else. But we believe that the FDA has been on the side of the makers of the CAT scan and has not been diligent about telling the public how much X-ray you're actually exposed to and why that can increase your risk of cancer. And so they're still, the average lifetime dose of diagnostic radiation has increased almost 700% since 1980. Why? Because more people are getting the popular CAT scan. But how much radiation are you getting? When you get a CAT scan, it's equivalent to 400 chest X-rays. You heard me correct. 400 chest X-rays. Now, about 70 million CAT scans or computed tomography are performed in the United States every year. And as many as 14,000 people may die every year of radiation-induced cancers as a result. And yet, as the people continue to use them, in fact, you're seeing CAT scans to screen healthy patients for cancer. And the most popular one of those is the colon cancer screening. And yet, it's nonsense. Don't do it. And it's dangerous. But unfortunately, I shouldn't be telling you that. The FDA should be telling you. You remember when the World Health Organization came out and the mainstream media, the official media, Fox News and MSNBC and NBC and ABC, CBS and CNN, they all got around and the woman says, we absolutely have a pandemic of swine flu, and therefore you must get your vaccines. So everyone did. But we looked at the scientific data, and we couldn't find that there was a pandemic. We couldn't find there was an epidemic. We couldn't find that there was any increase in people dying of the swine flu. So Richard Gale and myself wrote an article, and it went viral. About, I think, 150,000 websites published it. It was probably seen, I'm going to guess, around 30 to 40 million people, because some of those websites, like the Times of India, has a lot of people. And we said, don't run out and get your swine flu shot that has 24 micrograms of mercury, thimerosal, because someone's telling you this, because they have a habit of exaggerating. Well, here's the latest. Quote, swine flu scare was exaggerated, admits the World Health Organization. The World Health Organization admitted that the swine flu scare was exaggerated, and yes, it was, unquote, said Sam Lee Plyan Bonchang, regional director of the World Health Organization Southeast Asia. unit and said in reply to a question on whether the H1N1 scare was exaggerated by the Global Health Watchdog. So we were lied to. The whole world was lied to. Now imagine the people that went out there and got their swine flu vaccine and got all that mercury in their body and damaged their brain. Kind of foolish, wasn't it? Next up, something good for you, and I'll bet some of you, well, I know some of you are getting mangosteen in your body because I know it's in one of the very popular red powders of fruit that you're taking. Here's the latest on mangosteen from Mainstream Science. This is Nutrition Journal. Mangosteen beverage can help lower a marker of inflammation, improve weight and body fat. This is the latest study. Discovered that the juice lowered levels of C-reactive protein that could save your life. Being overweight and obese in a randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial, in a human trial. So, mangosteen deserves its reputation and its ranking as a superfood. So I'm hoping that you're getting yours. Chemical exposure before your mid-30s up your breast cancer risk. This is a new article, and here's what it says. I'll quote this. The Times of India. Women exposed to chemicals and pollutants in the workplace before they reached 35 have a higher risk of developing breast cancer later in life. The study revealed that women exposed to synthetic fibers and petroleum products during the course of their work are most at risk. Well, here's a problem. Here's the other side of that. Women are exposed, as are men, to thousands of workplace chemicals that the EPA cannot limit because pressure is brought to bear by top political appointees in the EPA and in the White House, Democrat, Republican, White House, doesn't matter, that are representing special interest that cause the pollutants. They don't want to be held accountable. They don't want to be fined. So it's all ignored. Now, tomorrow I'm going to be doing a little more on the environment, and I'm going to read some letters from the top scientist in the top union at the EPA showing how much pressure is brought to bear on them to hide, cover up, or destroy evidence of chemicals in the workplace affecting people. But this study, separate from that, shows, gee whiz, we have all these chemicals in the workplace, and they're affecting people. Yeah. So you've got no help from your government. They're not going to identify the chemicals that could be harming you, and they're not going to get them out. And finally, before we go to your calls here, Mike Adams, who has a program on Saturdays on Progressive Radio Network and is the publisher of the National News, has some very strong feelings about health insurance companies. They'll do anything, according to Mike, to drum up business. Well, what's the latest way that they drum up business? I'm talking about health insurance companies now. They invest in companies whose products cause chronic degenerative disease. Yeah, and that in turn drives people, more and more people, to get health care, and therefore more health insurance. And that's exactly what the health insurance industry is doing. A new article published in the American Journal of Public Health reveals that the U.S. and Canadian health insurance giants own $2 billion worth of stock in McDonald's, Burger King's, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Taco Bell, and others. So profits made by health insurance companies are reinvested in industries that make people sick and diseased. How about that? Just part of the irony of not having a surgeon general or president or anybody who cares about your health. I've said for a long time that today's youth are making a lot of unfortunate judgments that will come back to haunt them. And a new concept came into my consciousness recently from a person who wrote, and it was Elizabeth who reads the People's Mail, because I can't. I haven't been on a computer in a couple of days because I'm so busy traveling and filming. And this was from a man who is a New York City firefighter or police officer, and whose father was police officer, and they had just finished a run around Prospect Park. And the father mentioned to his son that the son's mother and or his wife were moving back to Ireland to buy a farm and to do homesteading as another career. And the son was all upset about this. And, you know, what are you doing? You're 86 years old. What do you mean another career? And the father said to him, according to the email that was sent by the son, you never know the truth of the choices you're making in life to get to your destination. And that is a whole new principle worth thinking on. And he said, I started listening to Gary Noll after a lecture I attended of his in 1972. And being Irish Catholic, you wouldn't be held very high up in anyone's mind if you started becoming a vegan and drinking juices, especially as a police officer, and especially a whole family are police officers. So he did it quietly, he and his wife. They just went about doing all the right things. And they came to lectures. They, according to the thing, went to my farm upstate New York. Anyhow, now today, he has the body of a 50-year-old. He has most of his hair that has not turned gray. He has a strong muscular system. And he said to his son, how many other 86-year-old fathers are running around Prospect Park with their sons? He says, so your mother and I feel we have a whole nother journey ahead of us in this life, a new passage, and we're going to take it. And he said, he now knows the truth of his choices because he's reached his destination. And he said that his two brothers, both police officers, died. That was the truth of their destination, their choices. And all of his friends on the police force are dead. That was the truth of their choices. They're dead. And then he left, and the son and his wife driving home, just all this raced through his mind. That it was right in front of him all along, and he just wasn't seeing it. And now he is, and he just wanted to share that with me, and I'm glad he did. Because now, when you look at someone, whether they're bankrupt, or someone running back to school to get another degree as if that's what's needed to get a job and survive in the future, it is not. Or the person that looks in the mirror and they're fat, or they look in their mirror and they can't see who they are because they have mastered disguising their real self. They have so many other layers of delusion. They want people to believe they're something they're not. So what they see in the mirror is the illusion of self, not the authentic self. And then one day, they reach their destination. They go broke. They have a heart attack. They have cancer. They have a stroke. They get divorced, whatever it may be. And only at that moment, when something actually tips, when there's no longer going to be a delay, you are at your destination. You've voted for Barack Obama. You voted for Bill Clinton. You voted for George Bush. You voted for these legislators. You voted for Arnold Schwarzenegger. All you had to do is look at this honestly, and you would never have done any of that. You wouldn't have kept your money in the banks that then throw you out of your house at the same time that they're getting interest-free loans for any amount they want. You wouldn't be allowing your child to eat junk food that will lead to diabetes and heart disease before the kid is 8. You wouldn't allow that. But as long as you're living in illusion, you will never stop and ask yourself, what is the likely outcome when I get to my destination? Now, we have multiple destinations in life. There's not just one. Multiple. But each time we get there, do we know its lesson? And if we did, we'd stop our attitude, we'd change things, but we don't. When I was in high school, as I'm sure many of you, what you drank was beer. Beer of 2.3% alcohol. So you could get drunk, but it was kind of hard. Most people didn't. Today, no, it's not beer, it's hard alcohol. Lots of it, binge drinking. In fact, the whole purpose is to show how much you can consume. And the next day, you wake up and you feel okay, mostly. And I said, remember, you're going to kill brain cells, kidney cells, liver cells, and heart cells that you will not be able to replace. It'll speed up your aging process, possibly by as much as 10 to 20 years. Here's the latest. This is from the American Association of Cancer Research at their annual meeting. Quote, excessive alcohol intake may increase the risk of cancer and even lead to premature aging. This is due, quote, to a shortening of telomeres, a region of DNA sequences at the end of chromosomes, which is important for genetic stability of cells. As people age, telomere length shortens progressively. Alcohol use has been linked to oxidative stress and inflammation, two mechanisms that accelerate telomere shortening. Since telomere shortening is thought to increase cancer risk, the researchers speculated that those with shorter telomeres due to heavy alcohol consumption would have an increased risk of cancer. All the cells in our body have a biological clock and telomerase. And now, think for a moment. How many times have I talked about what will cause the DNA to become damaged through inflammation? Like French fries, hot dogs, hamburgers, pizzas, colas, coffee, artificial sweeteners, all of which create inflammation, all of which destroy cells, all of which speed up the shortening of your telomeres. What will cause a lengthening of the telomeres so you actually live a longer life? Exercise. Daily aerobic exercise and then resistance exercise. Taking high enzyme active foods with polyphenols and phytonutrients, your green powders, your red powders. I know of nothing else that can impact your DNA in such a dynamic and healthy way as them. In fact, I don't believe there's anything in the world of science that can do it. In fact, I know there's not because I'm invited as a scientist and I'm probably only one of two or three people in the entire country who has done more than 46 clinical studies with positive results. In fact, I don't know anyone else who has. And doing it with lifestyle modification, I'm the only person doing it. Now, there's Dean Ornish who did it specifically for heart disease and then one for cancer. But we're talking about taking people from all walks of life, from all levels of conditioning, changing their behavior, changing their stress reactions and changing their diet and exercise and personal and work environment, and then measuring the results, both objective, meaning blood chemistry, hormone levels, blood pressure, impedance, etc., and subjective, keeping a journal, and then seeing which of these correlated with a better than expected outcome. And we've done it for 30 years on 35,000 people. So it's not speculative. It's absolute. That's why we're able to reverse the diseases that you've seen reversed. And right at the top of the list are the things I tell people you can't have. You can have no alcohol in any amount, period. Well, why not? I mean, my doctor, your doctor is an idiot. That's why. I mean, he's not just an idiot or she's not just an idiot. They're an arrogant idiot, which really makes them stupid. You know, and later this year, very short time from now, I will be doing battle with the entire medical community. They have never seen a battle that I'm going to be bringing them. Never in American history. I intend to do a smackdown on American medicine that they will never forget. And they will be fighting back with everything they can. They have a lot to fight back with. They have a lot of resources. But what they don't have on their side is truth. We do, And I am, as we speak, preparing for that. And that is coming very shortly, within the next 3 months. So this whole idea of, oh, go ahead and drink some alcohol, it's good for you. No, it's not. You have no proof that it's good for you. Well, that French study. Did you go to France? I did. Did you go to the countryside? No, you didn't. You were in your golf course. You were talking with your broker. You're buying a new, you know, something for your house. No, go where I went. Look at the actual science. Look at the epidemiology. And what you will see is that it was the consumption of resveratrol and polyphenols in the grapes and in the red wines, which are homemade wines, with very low, almost no alcohol content, and the fact that this was a group that was living in the country and they were exposed to outside, and the French are notorious for not liking to use pesticides on their crops that they eat for them, their own family. And yes, their diet was high in fat, and that's what was called the French paradox. A diet that is high in saturated fats should lead to oxidative stress and a higher level of low-density apolipoprotein, C-reactive protein, homocysteine, fibrinogen, and hence a greater incidence of heart attacks and strokes. It didn't. And it didn't because of the protective effect of the polyphenols, the antioxidants. So then we, in our unique marketing scheme and our lack of intellectual honesty, we said, well, what people need then is alcohol. I never will forget this lawyer coming into my office. And man, he was, had this ruddy complexion. And he said, he had all kinds of problems. I'm looking at his medical records. Whoa, they were bad. He said, I don't understand. You know, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. And that was drinking 2 glasses of alcohol a day, and he chose scotch, 80 proof, 2 whole glasses. He's lucky he was alive. Who told him to do that? His doctor. So the reality is, when you drink alcohol, any alcohol, in any amount, you increase your risk of cancer. You increase your risk. Well, it's not you're increasing your risk, you're destroying DNA. And when the DNA is destroyed, you're also destroying the telomere, and you're shortening your life substantially. So we want to get that telomere lengthened, and of course, L-carnosine will do that, but you got to be ahead of that curve to make it work. I'm Gary Noll. We're going to take a break. Hopefully, we'll be able to get your calls. I've had some trouble here with my computer where I'm at. I'm visiting and I'm not on my own system, so I'm trying to get this. So call at 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888, and we'll be back in a moment. If I'm able to take your calls, we will. If not, I'll continue sharing information. Please stay with us. Able to get any calls right now, I'm sorry, because of the technical difficulties of where I'm at. We're lucky to have a good broadcast so you can hear the show, but sorry, I can't take those. Millions of Americans are drinking toxic water in the United States, but it's EPA approved, from David Gutras. Quote, "It's been so long since the federal law regulating tap water has been updated that since 2004, more than one-fifth of the United States population has consumed tap water that the government classifies as toxic, but still approves for human consumption." And this is from the Director of Water Quality from the City of Los Angeles, A. Pareca, says, "People don't understand that just because water is technically legal, it can still present health risks. Now, even though more than 60,000 chemicals are used in the United States each year, and most have never been tested for human safety, the Safe Water Drinking Act regulates only 91 different toxins." That's right, you heard me right. Let me repeat that. Our Safe Water Drinking Act regulates 91 toxins. 60,000 toxins are not regulated. And many of these are regulations have not been updated since the 1980s. And the law does not take into account newer findings that certain chemicals can be more toxic in combination and separately. And to top it off, not a single chemical that is toxic has been added to that law since 2000. And yet many of these diseases take a long time to appear and can never be definitely linked to the tap water. Quote, "These chemicals accumulate in body tissue. They affect developmental and hormonal systems in ways we have not understood. So here's my suggestion. Don't ever drink tap water. You can be drinking DDT or AZT, chemicals are used in AIDS, chemotherapies, tranquilizers. Nanoparticles of medicines come through a person's body, go into the water, and come right back. They're not filtered. Next up, chokeberry extract found to regulate weight gain, blood glucose, and inflammation. This is from the Federation of American Societies for Experimental Biology. These are heavyweight scientists. Here's what this says from their own publication. Chokeberry bushes have for centuries been residents of eastern forest, where their bright red and dark purple fruits continue to be favorite snacks for local birds. Native Americans have also traditionally eaten dried chokeberries and prepared teas from parts of the plant, and several domesticated varieties now grace contemporary lawns and gardens from coast to coast. However, the chokeberry is enjoying a new claim to fame as a powerful antioxidant and can now be found for sale in the dietary supplement field. By the way, what is chokeberry? Aronia. Now, I know one product out there that contains chokeberry or aronia in good amounts, and many of you are consuming it. Quote, "What makes the humble chokeberry so healthy? Scientists think the answer lies in their unusual high levels of a substance called anthocyanins, from the Greek antho plus kinos, meaning dark blue. There are many different anthocyanins in these colorful berries, but they all function as antioxidants, originally protecting the chokeberry seed from sunshine-induced oxidative stress. And when we eat them, they also appear to protect our bodies from a variety of damaging situations, including exposure to pollution and metabolically derived free radicals. Indeed, a growing body of scientific literature has shown promising effects of chokeberry consumption on diseases ranging from cancer to diabetes." So they did some studies on this, and they came up with the chokeberry really does make a difference. In fact, they had a lot of good stuff to say about this, and this is from the American Society of Nutrition. So good news for those of you taking your nutrients. If you have problems with your liver, and maybe you've been using chemotherapy or are now, a new study published in the peer-reviewed journal Cancer shows that milk thistle, the herb, protects your liver from damage caused by chemotherapy. And if you're undergoing chemotherapy, you should definitely be using milk thistle. This was done at Columbia University Medical Center. Researchers conducted a study on 50 children undergoing a maintenance round of chemotherapy for acute lymphoblastic leukemia, type of blood cancer. And two-thirds of all children undergoing treatment usually develop liver toxicity during their treatment. But when they were given milk thistle, it substantially lowered the risk. And currently, there is no known way of preventing liver toxicity in chemotherapy patients, so milk thistle is terrific. So that's good news. And we'll wrap up this segment with this: brown rice and cardiovascular protection. This is from Science Daily. And this is a big-time research from the Cardiovascular Research Center in the Department of Physiology at Temple University School of Medicine. It says rice is generally thought to be a healthy addition to the diet because it is a source of fiber. However, not all rice is equal nutritious. But brown rice has advantage over white rice by offering protection from high blood pressure and atherosclerosis. And it goes on to say that new research has shown that there are components in a layer of tissue surrounding grains of brown rice which make it work against what is called an angiotensin II, and that's an endocrine protein and also a culprit in the development of high blood pressure and atherosclerosis. The findings are contained in a study conducted by the scientists. So, the bottom line, eat your brown rice. It could help protect you from heart disease. And that's good. We need that. Oh, one more thing. I had a person in an airport just yesterday ask me about, what's this thing I hear about maca? Everyone's trying to tell me to take maca. Well, maca, M-A-C-A. It's been around a long time. It's from South America. And it's a superfood. It's generally grown about 14,000 feet up the side of mountains in the Andes and of Peru. It's an adaptogenic and restorative in that it can help the body adapt to stress and can help to recalibrate the body's hormones. So maca has an incredible nutritional profile. It's very potent as a phytonutrient, and it's got a lot going on for it. But it's really the fuel of the endocrine system. It's able to produce hormones regularly. Now, it doesn't actually increase levels of any hormones, but encourages the body to produce them on its own. And this is accomplished through maca's targeted nourishment of the hypothalamus and pituitary glands. Those are your master glands of the body. And these glands, in turn, regulate other glands, bringing balance to your adrenal function, thyroid, pancreas, ovarian, and testicular glands. And this can move the body towards optimal estrogen and progesterone and testosterone balance. Great for men. Oh, by the way, the natives of Peru use it for migraine relief. So if you suffer from any debilitating pain of a migraine and you need relief, just take this radish-like root vegetable that grows in extreme climates where few other plants can survive. And it's been around for over 2,000 years. And you just take one teaspoon of it and you put it in a drink. And then you got something to make a difference. I thank you all for taking your time to listen. Always enjoyable to share with you. Tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock, we have the big show that so many people are tuning into and downloading. And in fact, Steve Lopez, my social media guy, says he came up with some interesting stuff he's going to share with me tomorrow, showing the Progressive Radio Network is the number one Google sought after radio station out there. That's interesting. And people are listening to the Progressive Commentary Hour. But every day at noon, also there to share the latest in health and healing. Have a nice day, everyone. Now let's say hello to Michael Rupert, if we can get him up here.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Michael. What's on the agenda today?
Like you were sounding a little bit earlier, it's time to stand up, kick some ass, and take some names and fight back. Those of us on the right side of the line of what's happening in the world have more power than we know. And there's an amazing opportunity in front of us all right now with the demise of Rupert Murdoch. And, boys, there's some heavy stuff breaking around that. That's how we're going to start. Then we'll talk about a likely deficit, a default that is going to happen on August 2nd. So it's going to be a fun show tonight. A lot of stuff going on.
We look forward to listening to it. And as always, the people are downloading your show like crazy. The numbers are way up for you, by the way. I just thought I'd let you know if you haven't heard already. So in a moment, Michael Rupert, please stay with us.